So we have Jessica Calvo, Dejan Djukic, Demi Gečko, Hirohata, and Sievas on the call, and from staff of Spot Boston, Glenn, myself.
Okay.
So, shall we start?
Yes.
Okay. So, I sent you an agenda 4 or 5 hours ago. I'm sorry, but I hope you have it in your hand. And the first item is agenda approval for today. Any change needed? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, going to the item 2, action points from the last call. So, Bart?
Yes, what I've done is I've contacted, one of the action points was contact Marina Del Rey staff about the scope of the definition of membership. I did this, the response is included in the updated version. As was clear from the from our discussions, it is not written in the context of one registry running more CCTLDs or having more than one CCTLD or including IDN CCTLD in one country or territory. So. That is as far as they can go. So it's now up to the working group whether they want to clarify this and make it more precise or include this in, say, the interim report. So that was action point number one. Action point number two was the fees paragraph in the bylaws. I've included that section in the updated version, and it states that, say, the CCNSO Council shall establish fees to be paid by CCNSO members only to defray CCNSO expenses. Until now, and that is clearly in the application form for the or in the application form to become member of the CCNSO, the fee is zero. And I've included a note with this respect. This financial contribution should not be confused with the CCTLD contribution to ICANN's cost of operation. That is a bilateral relation between the individual CCTLD and ICANN. The CCNSO membership is something determined by the CCNSO, so the council and the members themselves, and not by ICANN. To move with a step ahead, currently, and this is part, I think, of the expense overview provided by ICANN, currently ICANN is financing the CCNSO, so they pay our salaries, say the CCNSO support staff, they pay for the meeting rooms, and say with travel funding and some associated costs. So that was the second action point to my knowledge, and the third one is to update the version of, say, the document to include the results from the last meeting, that's included as well, especially the bit about the voting and the results from the voting's discussions. And the fourth point was to start drafting on a membership definition. I've taken the liberty not to do it at this stage, given the unclarity where the working group wants to take the definition regarding to be more precise, to link it with just one or make it or leave it as implicit as it is now. But and probably if we would include a membership definition right now, it would jump ahead into, say, almost final recommendations. So it's more... that was my interpretation of the action point. And that's, as far as I know, the action points from last call.
Oh, great. Thanks, Vat. So, any questions from the members? Okay. So, recapping the last call, I think the most important consensus was one vote per territory concept. Okay. Let's move on for today's discussion. So I think the discussion can be can go through the document which Bart sent out today or yesterday. So I think, and I hope you have the document version 2 in your hand or on your computer.
Hey.
Some has a question?
I heard Demi.
Just saying, okay, I'm with the, version 2 in my computer. We can follow.
Okay, all right, thank you. So, I hope everyone has that. So, let's discuss and go through the document in 1 hour, okay? So, it's around 7-8 pages. So, the first page, as introduction, Bob wrote four lines, and the fourth line says that it does not include a suggestion for an updated membership definition, as Bob said. But I think it can be done by Bob and maybe Bob and by Cheers in 2 weeks' time or something in the next version.
Yeah, if the work, it's not very difficult, but I think there's still some clarification needed given the scope of the membership definition.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the working group agrees on this one, then we can start updating it. What I've included in this version is already a reference to, say, I haven't done it yet for the ASCII, but for comparison, so if you look at the current definition, it refers to the entry in the IANA database.
Right.
And what I've done for comparison reasons, I've included the current reference to, in this case, Egypt, because that's the most interesting one, because it's run by a different entity. And the way it is, and it's in the footnote on page 3, and the way it is included there is, you can see it. And it also refers to sponsoring organizations, so that's one. Secondly, and that is probably the most important one, is what does the working group want to suggest to the CCNSO members and the community regarding the scope of the definition? Should it be very precise in the sense of stating that it's, or should we leave it the ambiguities regarding the multiple CCTLDs, or if one entity runs a CCTLD and a IDN CCTLD, does the membership extend into the both, or you understand probably what I'm saying.
Okay, I think we can discuss about that in the membership definition topic. Okay, so let's move to membership definition topic area 1. It's on page 2. So there are many red lines here. So any discussion on this? So first, let me say that as to the situation where one manager manages two or more CCTLDs, in considering IDNs, I think it should be clarified whether multiple ASCII CCTLDs managed by one organization like Norway can enjoy multiple memberships, So I think this is one of the point Bart suggested to clarify, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So any discussion on this?
I have an observation.
Yes.
In the footnotes of page 3 in the IANA database, it says that delegated identities cities are in the IANA database as country code top level domain designated for Egypt. Then that delegation record, the .xn something, is a delegation record for Egypt. It's the same territory. Then we'll have at the IANA database maybe multiple entries for the same territory.
Yeah.
But as I understand, we're trying to keep one vote per territory. Then maybe we can keep also membership, I don't know how to say this, but the main membership will be the ISO 3166 entry, and we have associated memberships for other entries in the same territory. It's a little bit difficult to have two memberships for the same, or n memberships for the same territory. In case of India, for example, if we have 22, then I'm not sure if we have to expand the definition of membership, but maybe to create something like associated membership or also something like a liaison. I don't know the name, the right name to annex to this concept. But anyway, I have some difficulties to extend the membership concept to one per delegated string and not one for territory.
But Demi, just a question, because I think this will be raised by some. How does this, say, if you look at IDN Working Group 1, and one of the underlying principles there is that ASCII ccTLDs and IDN ccTLDs should be treated similar. So if you would have an associative membership and a full membership, how does this similarity works in this case?
What we means with treated, what this treated means? Of course, all of these people have the rights to follow the discussions and to be in the working groups and so. But we don't want to make a disbalanced approach to voting or maybe other or fees in the future or anyway. Then we have to keep the equilibrium in some way. I'm not sure how this will be reflected in membership. But if you have, say, 20 members from the same territory, for example, for India, how you will treat this in the same way you treat the single member for Norway, for example, or something like this? It seems to be an unbalanced situation.
Mm. That's one. I was just raising the point, and if you talk to, if you look at, say, the voting mechanism, I think the working group discussed it on the last call, is by saying, okay, we start with, by the principle of one vote per territory, just to avoid this disbalance.
Yeah, I agree. But see, if you have a uniform membership for all the strings delegated, you have members that has more voting than other members. Then, in some way, this is also contrary to the working group one. You will have different kind of members, because to have members with one vote and members with a fraction of the vote.
Yes, but it is based on a territory base. That's I agree. But say, if what happens, and you haven't resolved the situation that you have one registry running more than one ccTLD, so in principle they're eligible for three memberships.
Yeah, I agree. This will be a side effect. But
somebody else as well.
Can you hear me? This is Siavash.
Yeah.
This is Siavash. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Siavash.
Can you hear me? Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Now, see, I think, as you said, as Bart said, I think they have to solve that problem that Demi is with in the voting process. Because, you know, imagine this scenario. If you have one organization doing the ASCII, another organization doing the IDM, and if it happens that after a while there will be more IDMs in that particular territory than the ASCII, making them associate members to the main members who are the ASCII guys, it's going to be kind of odd, you know, and discriminatory.
Yeah, let me try to put the question another way. I suppose if you have two different kinds of membership, one member has some voting rights, another voting rights, we will be ending in the same problem as Bart told us the working group one is dealing with. Then maybe we can because I don't think we can have different treatment for membership and voting. It will be awkward to say, okay, you have members that has one vote and members that has one fraction of the vote. It doesn't seem to be quite explainable, easily explainable. Then maybe just the question. We can leave to the territory to designate what is the main membership to the CCNSO. Of course, all the other strings can be represented and take part of the discussions. But maybe we can see the territory as one representative and leave to the territory to decide if it does be the ASCII string or maybe the IDN string. Because if you create different categories of members, we'll be ending the same problem Bart told us the working group one wants to avoid.
Yes,
okay.
I understand this. I think we addressed this question last time. Ultimately, I guess we want all the members of one territory to, you know, to come up with a solution, you know, how they want to vote. You know, they designate how they do. But my suggestion the other time was that before they do that, it may take a while before they do that. We should have some kind of an interim mechanism for this, for voting. But, you know, ultimately, as you said, you know, ultimately they have to decide. They maybe they designate one of them. Maybe they'll have a rotation or something.
Okay. I think we should separate the membership definition and membership rights. So I think we are talking about the membership rights, such as voting rights. So as to just a membership, I think every CCTLD manager can be a member of CCNSO as an equal status. So, do you have any opinion on this?
Is it every CCTLD manager, or is it every delegee? In other words, anything which has an IANA delegation.
Right.
May I make a suggestion for, say, I think what Chavez was referring to is, I hope, captured on page 6, but we get there. But, say, I think that the working group wants to have feedback on, say, these fundamental choices from the community as well, is that we try to capture this in, say, the interim or in the report, and I commit to draft something before the next call, say, is by having, say, either at the membership level you make already this distinction, or as say, what is now included in the document, say, membership, but on the, moving downwards towards voting rights, etc., that we include the solutions or the suggestions as are currently in the document, because what I think is that you end up with two scenarios to structure the CCNSO, or maybe even more, but already based on this current discussions of the working group.
Okay, thank you, Bart.
I don't know if the working group agrees to this or has another idea.
Yeah, I personally agree to that, process. So how others think?
Yeah, it would be nice to, you know, raise the issue and see, you know, what other people think.
Yes, we don't have to get to one single solution, so let's do that.
Yeah, it's not necessary at this stage, and maybe, say, if I can insert that in, restructure the document a little bit, say, these are the decision points, say, if you go down this, if you choose for this, this is the consequence, if you choose for this option, then you have to face this consequence. So that's one. And then, yeah, that's already part of the issues interim report for the Cartagena meeting.
Okay. So, Laura Agudin? Okay. So, but
before we leave this area, there were some questions raised in topic area one, like the question by Hiro, are synchronized or variant IDM CCTLDs considered to be single CCTLD or not? Have we already answered these questions or not? Or do we want to discuss them now?
We haven't discussed about this yet.
Okay.
Just a remark, from what I know about the working group one and the broader discussion of variant management. Working group one hasn't discussed the whole issue of variant management yet, and I think this working group's, as soon as there is more clarity on where this is heading, both from the working group one and probably from the more general discussion in regarding variant management, that the working group addresses this question as soon as we have this clarity.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes, but it seems to me that, you know, variants are really variants. You know, that's what they are. I mean, they are just different ways of doing, you know, the same TLD, really. I mean, it seems to me that, you know, they'll be just the same. I mean, there won't have to be different CCTLDs, but I guess we can wait for working group one to come.
Yeah, and what I will include is, say, what I could include in, the next version of this document, say, this topic needs to be addressed as soon as there is more clarity on the topic, but at this stage, it is the view of this working group that they should be treated as one IDN CCTLD.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. Let us all, because I think that at this moment the variant versions of the one IDN CCTLDs have separate entity in the IANA database, I think. So the membership definition should be elaborated to think of the IANA database and the variants. One. Okay.
Well, let's see. If we are agreeing that there will be one vote per territory, this is a good point to start with. Then we will have one vote per territory. Then we have a decision to make here. If we allow members to have different voting rights or not. If you allow members to have different voting rights, then it will be easy to solve the problem, giving membership to all the strings and making that the strings of the same territory has one vote in the total. If we do not agree that the members can have different rights, if you agree that the members are all the same, then we have to define a new kind of membership. The membership will be related not to the variants or to strings, but to the territory. Then we have to name the strings as representatives or variants or don't know what of that territory, not as full members. Then we have to have this decision. We want members to have the same rights, or we allow members to have different rights regarding voting.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yes.
Variants are really a different kind of thing. When you talk about variants, these are just problems that arise because of Unicode. Different kinds of Unicode, different Unicode strings can be seen and visualized as the same string by a user. That's what the variants are, really. Or at least one kind of variant. So you can't call them, you know, different strings in a way. For the user, they're the same string, but they can be typed in differently. That's kind of variant. That's one kind of variant, anyway.
Okay. So let's defer this answer after the clarification from Working Group 1, as Bob said.
I'll revisit it.
Yes, of course. Okay. So, any other discussion on the membership? Okay, so let's move to page 3, the topic area 2, role of members. The first one is A, eligibility and selection of counselors for CCNSO Council. This is new for our discussion. So any discussion, please?
Which one is this you're referring to? Could you say that again?
The bottom half of page 3, eligibility and selection.
Page 3.
C, topic area 2, role of members, and A, eligibility and selection of counselors.
Yes.
You found that?
You're talking about this, the new document that Bart sent, right?
Yes, but that's only the page numbering has changed. This was in the previous document as well.
Okay, now in the new document, what is that, page 3, you said?
Yeah, the red line one. And in the clean one, it is... It starts with page 2. No, page 3. Again, I'm sorry. Bottom page 3.
Bottom page 3. There's a footnote, and before the footnote, there's role of members.
Yeah. And then there is a heading, eligibility and selection of councillors for the CCNSO Council. Potential issues.
Yes. Okay, I got it.
Okay.
And it's, let me take you through it. That makes it probably just as easy. Currently, 3 members for the council are selected from each region. And, in fact, the question is, and this it depends very much on IDN CCTLDs, and CCTLDs are similar, that... If you would have, I think the best example is the case of India. Would, or say, assume India has 10 or 11 IDNs and one ASCII CCTLD, is it wise to have, say, 2 councillors from the same country elected to the council?
Question to clarify. I think if we have the voting process solved, there is no introduction of complexities in this case. If you have the voting uniform, one vote per territory, you can have how many candidates you want for any particular territory. I really do not see any problem here.
That's fine. But you could argue that, say, just having multiple candidates from one territory might be an issue, because that would go against, say, that was one of the fundamentals to avoid in the when the CCNSO was created, that you have one or two people from the same country, and that's already an issue with some of the NOMCOM appointees.
I think we have to separate the issues here about the eligibility. One issue is about the elected person or counselor, and the second issue is nominating or seconding.
Yeah.
So Dennis is talking about the nominating and seconding, and Bart is talking about the elected person, right?
Yeah.
So, well, as to the elected person,
separately.
Yeah. As to the elected person, I think what Bart said was not quite true, because the elected person may not affiliate with a specific CCTLD.
Yeah.
So this issue already exists today in ASCII CCTLD space, right?
Yeah.
So there seems to be no need for this working group to invent a new solution on the first issue. How others think?
Yeah, I also think that what Demi is saying is correct, that, you know, if we solve the problem, if they have one world, one pair of territory, this is automatically solved, essentially. Because, you know, if the members decide they want two people from the same territory, then that's their choice. But that's going to be very unlikely, considering that, you know, if one territory has only one vote.
Right.
Right.
Okay, I'll include it. I'm fine with it. I just wanted to raise the issue so that, say, in case somebody else raises it, it's clear that the working group has thought about it.
Yes. Okay, thank you, Bart. Anyway. It's a protocol. Protocol is existing.
Sorry?
Somebody say that?
Yeah, I was saying that the other issue that you mentioned, the nomination and seconding, we could have a different decision there. I don't know.
Yeah, but that is, say, the first step is the eligibility. The second point is, say, the election process itself.
Hmm. Yeah.
So I think the working group has just for clarification, Chavez, the working group has discussed the eligibility. It doesn't see any problem, but it will be resolved through voting of one vote. The second one is the nomination and seconding and the election itself.
Yes. And then for the second point, the issue resembles the issue on voting if we choose one unit of right per territory concept. I think the same concept should apply to nomination or seconding.
Now, I think we can leave this open. If anyone wants to nominate anyone, no problems with this, because the voting process will solve any problems in the area. Maybe you have people nominated, but some IDNs, CTLD, between many others, but in the voting process we will be solving this. Then I really do not see problem in this area.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt, but perhaps, you know, we have something called primary contacts, so perhaps it would be a solution to say that only primary contacts can nominate, for instance, a second. And, you know, if it's up to the CCTLD to decide who the main CCTLD will be, then they also have to decide who the primary contact will be. It's just a thought.
Okay, but if we decide to do so, we can have multiple primary contacts from one territory. Is it correct?
Well, you would have to think of that too. For now, we just accept one primary contact, and I understood the discussion was that the territory would define one main member. And then, as I understand it, we would have the primary contact would be for that territory would be from the main member. And then we would have secondary contacts. I mean, this is perhaps also an issue that you should think of.
Mm. Okay, thank you. But I think on this working group, we don't have to go into the implementation layer. So, I think what Gabi said is just a note to this document. We don't have to go into detail about the solution. How do you think?
Say, if you would say, as soon as we start discussing or revisit the voting, and that I think is not this section, but the section afterwards, is you see that, say, the whole idea of one representative per territory, you can use that for this one as well, and it's one of the practical issues if you would choose for one representative for voting, and that this is also for nominations. You can expand this solution to that as well.
Maybe it's a good idea.
Yes, let's do so.
So what I'll do is I'll note here that, say, for nominations and seconding, either you stick to, say, one vote per member, but you can also, or every member can nominate and every member can second, no matter how you're going to interpret the membership. And the second alternative is appoint a representative per territory.
This second solution seems to be, complicate things. I think, voting, just nominating is not such a sensitive thing. We shouldn't...
No, I can include that the working group thinks it is complicating, but going back to, say, listing the alternatives and the reason why you want to move ahead with one, then you have a general overview of what is happening.
Yeah, I guess it's safe to list them as alternatives, but ultimately we have to decide.
Yes. Mr. Bass, please do so.
And yes, I will.
At this point, it seems that we have a preference on the solution one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Any other discussion on the eligibility? Okay, so let's go to point B, initiation of PDP.
I have a suggestion to make this simpler. Maybe we can replace 10 members by 10 votes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I thought. It's consistent to the one vote per territory concept. Okay, how others think?
What exactly is the suggestion about?
Demi, you want me to repeat it, or can you repeat it?
We can do it, Bart.
Currently the initiation or the PDP can initiate it by 10 members of the CCNSO.
Okay, and we're
talking about that. Okay. And Demi's suggestion would be, so I've listed three alternatives, Demi's suggestion is that at least from the membership, I think this is the way to phrase it, from the membership, 10 votes need to be in favor of initiating.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then it's linked with the voting solution.
Yeah.
So that's an alternative as well.
Right, yeah. Or let me ask you just a question. How many CCNSO members are there now?
108.
108. So the 10 members sort of represent 10%.
Yes, and it's always been 10 members.
It could also be generalized to 10% instead of 10 members.
Yes, but say the threshold will increase to do it.
Yeah. Okay. So Demi's suggestion is in a way simpler. It says 10 votes.
Yeah.
Equivalent of 10 votes. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Right. So do others agree? Okay.
And just to what this really means, if you look at the PDP, so everybody is clear on this one, it doesn't mean that the PDP will be run. It means there will be, say, a request for an issues report. And based upon that issues report and everything else, the council decides whether or not to launch a PDP. So this doesn't mean that 10 votes or 10 members can launch a full-blown PDP. So there is still, that's why it say if you would increase the threshold, there is a lot of checks and balances in this bit of the policy development process.
Okay.
Just an observation. I think we have to keep this in kind of absolute numbers, because if you put a percentage of members, we will have the problem of what is the members, how you count the members, if the IDN are a member or not. Then better keep this as an absolute number of votes, or maybe a percentage of voting, a total voting number.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Demi. Other discussion on this? Okay, let's move to the next one about voting. We intensively discussed about voting already, but any other points to discuss further about voting?
No, maybe what I think would be if you could revisit, say, the results of the discussion, whether or not I've captured them. And I've included a second note, and which is a question related, say, based on the discussion on the previous call. So that's on the bottom of page 6 in the red line in both versions. I can read it out what I've written, so maybe that's easy.
Yes, please.
So voting should be based on the principle of one vote per territory, i.e. entry in the ISO 3166 list. This implies that if there is more than one member per ISO 3166 entry, the combined votes of these members is still one for that territory. This can be done either through appointing one representative for all members within that territory, or by formally dividing the one vote per territory over the number of members for that of the CCNSO for that territory. So that's one divided through n vote per member from a territory listed in the ISO 3166, where n is the number of members from that territory. Designating one representative may take time, which in effect means that there needs to be a transition rule. The working group noted that combining the votes might have an impact on the results and what it represents. Alternative, a voting system may become overly complex. and now I have note one. Would a stage voting process be feasible? So this goes into the, say, the complexities of dividing up the votes. So first combine the votes per territory to determine the vote for that territory, and secondly count the votes on a per territory basis. So what we have now, but if you have more than one CCTLD, IDN CCTLD, and CCTLD in one territory, they vote first. The majority of that vote determines whether that territory is considered to be in favor or against a proposal. As an example, so that was the example in a assume country of random, but yeah, that's what the vote of for that country would be counted as one vote. Okay, that was note one. And note two, that is, in case the preference is to appoint a representative per territory listed, the working group considered that this should be organized locally, while at the same time informing the CCNO who it is needed that the CCNO needs to know who the representative is. And that needs to be maintained. And then you have the issue which is not included is should this be on a roll forward basis or how far can the local determination go? Is the member appointed for, say, just 1 year, or the representative, or for multiple years, etc.? That's not included. So these were my notes from the previous call. I hope I captured the discussion as far as you recall.
Okay, thank you, Bart. So discussion on this, please. So there may be some issue about the tied vote in a territory. So there should be a solution for that. It's not easy to solve that. Demi, do you have something to say?
Yeah, I'm thinking about. I think we have to decide if it's our business to make the visibility of the internal voting process in a territory, or if we have to delegate this to a decision inside the territory. It will be easier for CCNSO if we can count one vote per territory and let the territory decide internally how this vote will be bring to the CCNSO, maybe with one representative or maybe a kind of fractional voting anyway. I suppose we have to decide if is this our issue or is an internal issue regarding the territory. If it's our issue, we have to decide how you make a fractional voting and how you keep the vote secret in case of secret voting and so.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
May I suggest, because what I think the working group has done, and last time they came up with different mechanisms. Say what you just raised, Demi, are some further points for discussion, and this is something to take back to the membership and seek input on these topics. What is the direction?
Now I'm trying to reduce the number of alternatives we have in this question. My idea is first to decide if there is an internal solution, if this is a solution that CCNSO has to be involved with, or we can delegate this to the territory. If we decide that this is our problem, then we have to go forward to decide how we will make the fraction voting and so. If we decide this is a problem that has to be delegated to the territory, then our job is easier because we have just to wait for this vote or for the representative that we have the voice for this vote. This is a conceptual situation. Don't know who is the best way to go for.
Yeah,
But I think it's a good idea to communicate to the membership, you know, the thoughts that have been around here. Like, I think most of us, it seems to me that most of us believe that ultimately it's a territory that has to decide.
Right.
But the question is, if it takes some time, do we have to have an interim process so that we don't disenfranchise the territory before they can, you know, come up with a solution?
Yes. So let's go back to the CCNSO members. So how others think? Okay, oh, let's do so. Any other discussion on the voting? So if not, let's move to the next topic, which is quora. Yes. So for this, we haven't discussed about this, but again, if we stick to one unit of right per territory, the quorum can be counted as in the case of voting. It's my observation, but how others think? Any opinion?
I have one suggestion. Maybe what we can do is have an agenda. We keep the majority at 50% for members. However, we augment this by saying that at least 40%, say, of the territories have to be represented. In other words, if we define membership by delegations, okay, 50% of the delegates are present, so we have quorum. However, there have to be, you know, these 50% should represent at least, say, 40% of the territories. You know, some number like that. Because counting, you know, fractional votes, say, if we adopt that for a while, that's going to be hard to do, you know, for quorum.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I suggested this staged voting, say, so what the fractions add up to for the vote of a territory, and then and based on that one, they count, say, that determines the vote for that territory.
So my suggestion is to this majority and 50%, but stipulate that these represent, you know, a significant portion of membership. Maybe, if not 50%, but a significant portion of the territories, if not 50%, at least, say, 40%. And these are easy to count.
On the other hand, depending on, say, if you result, say, what we've done with the selection of council members is that we say one vote per territory, then and you change it that way, I think you already have resolved the issue of quorum as well.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, okay.
So, again, here the voting mechanism determines how this works out.
Yes, that's what I said.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But in the second stage, where you have, I guess it's okay. Yeah.
Okay, any opinion? Okay, let's move to the last one, the scope of PDP.
Let me just say, I think on the previous call we discussed this topic briefly, so I've included these notes.
Right. And the final result is no need for adjustment.
Yeah, That was at least my take on the conclusion of the working group last time.
Right. So, any discussion on that, please? So, if not, we end up this review of the document. So, any discussion on the document to revisit somewhere on the document? Then let's wrap up in 2 minutes. So going back to the agenda, on my agenda list, item 4 is the timeline toward the Cartagena meeting. On the email I sent you. So below is a proposal by chair. So Friday, November 5, it's a draft interim report by Bart and Chairs. And Thursday, November 11, working group conference call as already set up. And Friday, December 19, publish interim reports for public comment. And in Cartagena, we will have a physical meeting. This is my proposal for the timeline towards Cartagena. So discussion, please.
Just a question, I suppose, is there going to be for example, I won't be able to attend the Cartagena meeting. Is there going to be an opportunity to participate online?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. It's like all the... Gabby, maybe you can clarify this one.
Yes, there will be a remote participation facility, and also we can arrange to dial in or dial out for you if you would like to.
Okay.
But I think this is in line with the timeline previously set.
Yeah, and I have to say that's the good thing where we are now. I think, what we've done up to now, we've combined already identifying issues and come up with some directions for solutions. So that's with the exception of the whole issue about variant management, maybe, but that is a broader issue, and the working group is dependent on it. We almost ahead of the timeline for the first time.
Thank you. To keep this timeline for the November 5th Friday to send out to the working group the draft interim report, so we have 2 weeks, or 2.5 weeks from now, 2 weeks from now to do this. So if Bob can revise the document in 1 week and send it to Demi and me and check Damien, checked by Damien and me, and incorporate the comments to the draft report.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that would work.
Okay. Damien, do you agree?
To have, what's going to be so public, beforehand, so that we can, have a good discussion next time.
Yes, it's a...
You're going to send this out after Friday next week.
So could you repeat the question again, Chavez?
Do I understand correctly that you're going to send this interim report after Friday next week, so we have a chance to look at it before the next conference call?
Yeah.
Okay.
Say just to make sure, the working group needs to feel comfortable with the interim report before it will be made public anyway. So that means that you need time to look at it.
Good.
Okay. So another opinion. Okay, any other business? If not, okay, thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Bart,
you have
Bart, just so you know, we need to dial in again and use a different code. Christina just sent in this code.
Yeah, I've seen that one, 6565.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.